Have you ever been in a sudden and violent storm? We had one here yesterday in downtown. At 2:30, the sun was shining, a beautiful summer day. 10 minutes later, a maelstrom, the kind of wind that knocks down trees and crushes cars. It's precisely a storm of that kind encountered by the apostles in a small fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, of course, is not a sea, it's a lake, a mixture of fresh water and brackish. But because of its geography, it is subject to these violent storms year-round, with little or no warning. The surface of the water can go from perfectly smooth, like a bathtub, to white-capped waves breaking over the sides of boats of the sort used by fishermen like Peter, James, John, and Andrew. It was in just such a boat that Jesus and the 12 were crossing the lake when one of those squalls blew up, and they are terrified. They ask him with incredulity, "Don't you care that we're perishing? We're about to drown." Their little boat shipping water. "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" And he rebuked the wind and the sea with his word, "Quiet, be still." They can't believe what they've just witnessed. "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" It is the Lord. And miracles like that, the signs worked by the Lord Jesus, were given to the 12 to help them see beyond his human flesh. Yes, he's a man like us in all things but sin. Yes, they know his mother. But he is also the Father's eternal Word, the one through whom, for whom, and by whom all things were made. He made the universe and everything in it. Of course he can command the wind and the sea. This is what Job learned from the same Lord who addressed him out of the storm and said, "Who shut within doors the sea?" Job, you will remember, has rebuked God for the way he's running his creation. And the Lord lets Job exhaust himself with his tirade before teaching him the truth. "Who are you, creature of mine, to question me? I created everything and order all days rightly. And if you do not yet perceive my justice and my plan in your life, the fault is not in me but in you." This is the wisdom of which the psalmist sings. Mariners lost in the vast ocean in the midst of a storm. They cried to the Lord in their distress. From their straits he rescued them. The point of all of these texts is really quite simple. We are not the masters of creation. We are not the lords of this earth. We are not even the lords of our own lives. We are simply servants, stewards. We receive from our Lord and Master gifts entrusted to us for the good of all and for our flourishing. And our only task is to take care of these gifts with simplicity and love. Yes, man is instructed by God in Genesis to subdue the earth, but not to have lordship. Merely to be stewards. Subduing the earth means using our God-given reason to work as co-creators, to provide for ourselves food and clothing and shelter. In the last 300 years, our ability to do these things has increased exponentially with the Industrial Revolution, the Scientific Revolution, the Technological Revolution, the Digital Revolution. Advances in knowledge of medicine, engineering, of all the crafts that allow us to be co-creators with God. These are blessings beyond all telling. Except when those things are confused with dominion, with lordship, with being masters rather than servants. This week, Pope Francis published an encyclical letter called Laudato Si, from the Italian words at the beginning of the famous Canticle of St. Francis, a great hymn of praise to God for the beauty of creation. We will study the encyclical in detail after Labor Day. For now, the essential theme of the entire letter is simply this: we are not the masters of this earth. We are stewards of God's creation. Charleston woke up on Thursday morning not to the challenge of a papal encyclical, but to the tragedy of unspeakable evil. 9 people were murdered in their church as they studied the Bible and prayed together. We don't yet know if that baby-faced 21-year-old was simply a lunatic or a domestic terrorist filled with the noxious falsehoods of a hateful ideology. But whatever is the case, we do know this: there are people who seek to control others, to exercise dominion over them. There are people who seek to be masters of other people rather than their servants. This is the spirit of evil. Recall that Adam and Eve fell from grace when the serpent lied to them, suggesting that if they disobeyed God and seized knowledge for themselves, they would be like gods. That's the primordial temptation, to be masters rather than servants of the created order and of other people. And what was the fruit of their rebellion? Murder. One brother slew another. It's that same spirit of false lordship, which, whether he knew it or not, caused that young man to destroy his life as he took the lives of 9 innocent people. When we seek control of others, when we will not allow the Lord of all to be the Lord of us, when we refuse to be servants and demand that we be masters, we surrender then to what Nietzsche called the will to power, the desire to dominate, and it always leads to death and destruction for others and finally for ourselves. We need to learn the lesson Job learned and the psalmist, the lesson Pope Francis is trying to teach the whole world, the lesson which the 12 learned in their small boat on the vast lake in the midst of a storm. We are not masters. We are servants. But we are servants of one who, in perfect love, is our master and Lord, and frees us from selfishness and disordered self-love of every kind. And when we surrender our lives to him in the obedience of faith, then we find the freedom that Adam and Eve wanted. Then we find the freedom that eluded that poor man in Charleston. Then we find the freedom of the children of God in the dominion of Jesus Christ.